1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, What Role Should the Government Play in Natural Disasters, or really in natural disaster relief? Because we have seen in the wake of Hurricane Ian, we have seen a call for the government to be involved and actually to meet the needs of the people. And we have seen this. That's what a state of emergency does. It puts in place a legal request for the federal government to step in and provide federal funds for the relief effort. And really, it doesn't matter whether it's a hurricane or a fire or maybe a huge fire, or if it's flooding, or if it's tornadoes, whatever the natural disaster is, there is a call for the federal government to be involved. And we have, if you missed the last two sermons, you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle, and you can actually watch those previous sermons, and where we've laid out really what the role that God has placed for the government, and really even the level of taxation that you'll see if you want that level of government. And one thing that you won't see in the Bible is you won't see the Bible and you won't see God authorizing government to take money from some and to give it to others. You'll never see that in the Bible. And you also won't see the government being involved in natural disasters. And we'll talk more about that in a subsequent sermon. But today we're going to look at what the Bible has to say, because, you know, some people, when they hear what I have been presenting, they'll say something like, well, you just don't care about the poor. And that's not the case. And we're going to look and see that the Bible speaks quite a bit about the poor. One thing the Bible doesn't speak about, though, is the government helping the poor. You will not find a passage in the Bible where God advocates the government helping the poor. Certainly, we did discuss and we talked about it from last week, where you had the one very unique situation where in the nation of Egypt and also the surrounding region, there were seven plentiful years, followed by 7 years of famine. And during that time, God did authorize, and God, you can see that God orchestrated and actually sent Joseph to Egypt to preserve, for the purpose of preserving the nation of Israel. And what you'll see is that this program, you'll see the one time that there is a government program that was authorized by God, and actually God placed the man that ran that program in that country. And it was run by a wise man, and it did deliver the nation of Israel and many other people, including the nation of Egypt. But you see, at the beginning of that, the Egyptians were free people. They owned their own land. They owned their cattle. They were prosperous. And yet at the end of it, they didn't own their cattle. They didn't have any money. They had paid their money. They had paid their cattle. And they also had given their land to Pharaoh, and they were then Pharaoh's servants, where they would till the land, they would produce produce, and they would pay a 20% tax from there on out. You actually see the very first instance where you have property tax, the very first instance of property tax recorded in history. And so you see that, and that's really the only situation where God actually authorized the government to actually help out the poor. And in that case, it wasn't just taking money from some and giving to others. It was taking money from everyone and then selling them the part of what they had given back to them so that they could actually survive and live and eat. But we're going to talk today about what the Bible says about the poor and what the Bible says about how we should treat the poor. And the Bible actually gives a lot of instruction on the poor. So we're going to start in the law of God, in the case laws of Exodus, Leviticus, and also Deuteronomy. And one of the things that you'll see is that the law of God does speak to the poor. And when we talk about the law of God, many times people just think about the Ten Commandments. But really, there are case laws in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy that actually expound upon those commandments and show how those commandments should be applied to various levels and various ways that they should be applied. And in Exodus chapter 22, verse 25, we read, "If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like a moneylender to him. You shall not charge him interest." So, and by the way, we're talking here about the poor and about what the Bible says about the poor. And we need to realize here that not everyone who suffered damage in the hurricane is poor. In fact, some of the people are very rich. And really, if we're going to compare the nation of the United States of America and the way the people in the United States of America live compared to the people of other nations, not only in this time, but really in all times, really, even the poor would be considered rich by the standards they live in many, many other countries. And even the poor in this country actually have more means in many cases, in most cases, than the middle class in most of Europe. So we need to realize that we are immensely blessed in this nation. But certainly there are people that are poor. The Bible also speaks about the needy, and many times it talks about the poor and the needy together. And the Bible also talks about the afflicted. But here we're talking specifically about the poor, that there was actually the provision in the law of God where if someone had means to lend money, that they would not actually charge interest if they were lending to someone who was poor, that they should not be like a moneylender, that they should actually loan the money to that person, and then they would actually not charge that person interest. In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 10 through 12, we read, "And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard, nor shall you shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord of God. I am the Lord." So here we see that they were to actually, when they were going out and they were gathering their grain, when they were gathering from the vineyard, that they were not actually supposed to together everything. They were supposed to leave some of it for the poor. You actually see an example of this with Ruth, who was, if you remember, Naomi went to a foreign land at a time of, I believe, famine, and she had sons, and her sons married, her husband died, her sons died, and she was ready to come back to Israel, and she actually told her daughter-in-laws, listen, I don't have any sons. I don't, even if I had sons, are you going to wait until they're born and grow up to be married? Stay here. And Orpah stayed, but Ruth went with Naomi, and they were poor. They were widows. Both of them were widows. And rather than just sit around and want someone to take care of them, they actually took advantage of this provision in the law of God, and Ruth went out into the field and started gleaning grain, and she happened upon Boaz's field. Really, you can say she happened upon it, but really it was God's providence that she went into Boaz's field, and Boaz took knew who she was, and Boaz actually showed favor to her, and not only allowed her to even told his servants, even if she starts gleaning from the standing grain, just let her do it. And Boaz actually blessed her and gave her extra additional. And you know that Boaz actually ended up marrying Ruth, and because he was related to Ruth, he ended up marrying Ruth, and actually they are both in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So you see here this principle, and you see that an example of that actually being involved. So there is for food, there is actually provision for the poor, and they weren't just receiving a handout. They weren't just standing on the side of the road with a sign that to collect money. They actually were, quote unquote, working for food. They were going out and working. They were gathering of the harvest, and they were being able to be protected and provided for there. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11, we read this: if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of your gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open up your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give it to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in the land. So here we see this provision in the law of God. First of all, you see a few different provisions. One is there was a year of release. So when someone borrowed money, when someone lent money, there was every seventh year the debts were canceled. So if you borrowed money, you actually wouldn't be borrowing money for 30 years or 40 years for a home. You'd be borrowing money for a short period of time. Probably you wouldn't be borrowing, and you know, back then they weren't really building elaborate houses like we build today, but they were, you know, in fact, even sometimes they were staying in a tent. You can read about that in the Bible, where you see people actually living in a tent. And when they did have homes, they were made, you know, they were homes that they built themselves out of probably, you know, they might have gone to the forest and cut down trees and hewed wood, and they built these homes themselves. But when someone was poor and needed and was needy, there was provision for them to be able to borrow. And we already know that they were not to charge interest to each other. If someone had means and someone else needed something and asked to lend money, then he would lend the money. The person that had the means would lend the money to the man who was poor, and the man who was poor would actually receive that money and would pay it back without interest. If he wasn't able to pay it back before the year of release happened, the debt was canceled. And so the person lending the money knew this going into it, that they were lending the money and that the year of release would be coming up. And God here knows the heart of man. He knows the inclination. He knows that some would be stingy and would not want to lend money because the year of release was up. You know, if you're lending money in the sixth year, what are your chances of getting that money back? Well, not very good. So what you had here was you actually had the possibility that the person who had the means would hold back and not give it. And God says you should actually, if there's any poor among you, a poor man among your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your brother. So you shouldn't have a hard heart. You should actually help him out. Lend, give money. Give money to the man who is in need. Verse 8, but you shall open wide your hand, wide to him, and willingly lend him sufficiently for his need, whatever he needs. So God is saying, be generous. Open up your hand. Give him money. Give him what he needs, and help him out. In verse 9, beware lest there be any wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. So here you see that warning that they shouldn't say, hey, you know what, this is the sixth year. I'm not gonna be able to lend you money. I'm not gonna lend you money because I'm not never gonna get it back. Well, God warns against that and says, just be generous. Give him of the out of your abundance, lend to him, and don't be stingy, even because the year of release is coming up. In verse 10, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give it to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. So here's one thing we need to understand. When you help someone out, God is able to bless you abundantly beyond anything you can ask or think. God is able to give you an abundance so that it can make you can make up even if you don't receive back what you have lent. God is able to prosper you so that you still are better off than if you had received that money back from the one who was poor. And so this is a principle to just know that God is able to help you. And going on here, he says in verse 11, "For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, and your needy in the land." Now, I want you to notice a few things here about with all of these passages. One of the things that you'll see is you never see, we haven't mentioned the government doing anything in any of these. What we see is private citizens helping out one another. Certainly, you're not going to have the poor lending to the poor, but those who have means, you see lending to those who have need, and you see them doing so without interest, and you see also this release of debts every 7 years. You also see the ability for those who are poor to be able to work for food, not to just be given a handout, but to be able to work and to be diligent and to bring in their resources and to actually be able to sustain themselves and to be able to provide food for their household. Now, we're going to look at some of the other passages in the Bible, and there are many passages. We're not going to cover all of them, but there are many passages in the Bible that talk about the poor. And one of the things that you see the Bible mention is that the wicked persecutes the poor. And in Psalm 10, verse 2, we read, "The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plot which they have devised." So you see, first of all, those who are wicked, and you see the act of persecuting the poor being attributed to those who are wicked. So if you are one that persecutes the poor, if you take advantage of the poor, if you see someone who is poor and needy, and you take advantage of him, then or her, then you are a wicked person. And you see here also an imprecatory, this is actually an imprecatory psalm. The imprecatory psalms actually pray that God would work vengeance upon the wicked, that he would execute vengeance upon those who are wicked. And he says here, "Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised." You see also going on in Psalm chapter 40, verse 17, you see that God is the helper of the poor. In Psalm 40, verse 17, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." So here you don't see the government being the help of the poor. You see God himself being the help of the poor. And you see that the psalmist here is saying that not only that he is poor, but also that he is needy. And certainly there are some that were impacted by this hurricane that are not poor, but they are needy right now. But you see the cry to what? To the government? No, you don't see the poor crying to the government here. You don't see the one who is in need, the psalmist, crying out to the government. You see the poor, you see the psalmist crying out to God and asking God to help, because God is the helper of and deliverer of the poor. In Psalm 140, verse 12, we read, "I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor." So God is the one that maintains the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. And then we read in Psalm 41, verses 1 through 3, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. Earlier in Deuteronomy, we read that if someone who had means and lent to the poor, that God would bless that person, even if, because they were generous, even if they actually did not receive that money back, God would bless them so that they would not lose that, so that they would not be at a loss, that God would make up for that in his blessings to them. And you will see here that those who consider the poor are blessed. The Lord will what? Deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. The Lord will also, he will be blessed on the earth. He will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. And the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness and sustain him on his sick bed. So you see here, not only monetary blessings, but also protection from the evil one, being blessed on the earth, and even having blessings of recovering from illness and coming up from the sick bed. Now, we're going to go over next week. We'll continue this, and we'll talk about the New Testament. We'll actually show what Jesus said should happen with the poor and those who are needy. We'll see what the apostles in the first early church actually did when people were poor. And in addition to that, we'll see some other instruction in the New Testament. And you won't want to miss that sermon. You'll want to tune in and be a part of that. I do also want to remind you that we have voter guides at FloridaVotesValues.com. I want to encourage you to read those voter guides, study what the Bible says about the issues, and also study where the candidates stand on those issues. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Like a wildfire, like a wildfire.